You're listening to FMGRadio.com. Are you ready to take control of your physical, emotional, spiritual, professional, and financial health? Are you ready to experience great success in your life? Each week, join Dr. Diane A. Thompson and her guests for tools and strategies to help you take control of your health and inspire you to live your best life. Now here is your host, Dr. Diane A. Thompson.
Well, hello and welcome to Health Talk with Dr. Diane, MD. This is a show that's designed to inform and inspire you to a healthier lifestyle. I am your host, Diane A. Thompson, MD, and as always, it is my pleasure spending time with you on this broadcast with the goal that you will learn something that may take your health and your life to a higher level. I realize that you could be someplace else, and many of you, you come here every single week, and I want to let you know that I really, really appreciate this. I'm very grateful. Now, interestingly enough, today's show, and a lot of you have emailed me about this show with a lot of excitement, because we don't often have a dentist on many of these health shows. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. Let me just mention the remind our listeners of the disclaimer that, in fact, this broadcast is for educational and informational purposes only and not intended for diagnosis or treatment. So please consult with your healthcare provider before making any changes to your health. All right. And so we have an amazing show for you guys. We're talking about our oral health, and you know, many times in a quest for great health, we ignore the health of our teeth. And there are many studies out there that show that poor dental health may be linked to other diseases. And, of course, we also know that the condition of our teeth can sometimes reflect upon the rest of our health. So today we're very fortunate to have a guest who will talk with us about healthy teeth, having healthy teeth for a lifetime. And I did not get to talk to you before the start of the show, so I don't want to butcher your name. So pronounce your name for me.
Schwartzman.
Okay.
Alex Schwartzman.
Yeah. Dr. Alex Schwartzman, and he's a holistic dentist. He's going to tell us what that means. And he's also the author of the book, Your Path to Healthier Dentistry, A Holistic Approach to Keeping Your Teeth for a Lifetime. Why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about your background? I mentioned to them that you're a holistic dentist and you're an author. Tell us a little more about your background.
I don't know how far back you want to go, but I have a BS in biology. That was my primary interest, so I studied biology. And I chose dentistry because I wanted to do something with my life that I would enjoy. And I'm a natural born artist, and dentistry, for me at least, is a kind of a marriage of art and science. And so it has the two things that I love, biology and art. And so when I came out of dental school, I really focused on cosmetic dentistry, and I pursued that for about a decade. And over that decade, what I learned was that most people hate going to the dentist. And so when people would meet me and they would find out that I was a dentist, they would say one of two things. They would either point to their mouth and say, "What do you think of this?" Or about 90% of the time they would say, "I hate you, but don't take it personally." And I really took it personally, and it really bothered me. So I decided to address that because it really was gnawing at me for many, many years. And I basically gave up my practice. I moved much closer to my house, 5 minutes from my house, and I built a brand new office. And the purpose of this practice was to focus on the very phobic patient, because I knew that with all this modern technology and just by being empathetic and sympathetic, dentistry can be delivered in a very comfortable manner. And that was my kind of purpose for many years. And over the years, I stumble onto something called biomimetic dentistry, and we're going to talk about it a little later. But what happened was, I started writing articles about it because I was very enthusiastic about it. And one of the things about me is I love being a dentist. I'm very fortunate in my life is that I really found a career that fulfills me. It's I almost feel like I was this. It really comes very naturally to me, and I love what I do. I look forward to Mondays. I look forward to every day I go to work. I get to help people, which is a joy in and of itself, and I get to do what I love. And I get to do something that I could use my natural born talents in. And so I'm very happy as a dentist. But what happened was I started running with biomimetic dentistry. I started attracting a lot of holistic patients because they liked what it was about. And as I started treating more of these patients, I found that the holistic patients and the phobic patients had something in common, and that is most dentists hate treating these people because the phobic patients, they call behind closed doors pain in the ass patients, and the holistic patients, they call pain in the ass patients. And they kind of, it already starts as in a negative kind of tone. You know, a lot of eye rolling, things like that. So people kind of were dismissed or dentists, not every dentist, I don't want to say that, but a lot of dentists behind closed doors will kind of roll their eyes and scoff and, you know, like they almost want to say that they'd rather these patients went somewhere else. So I basically treat both groups of people the same. What I found with the holistic patients is that there were either people who were very sick and conventional medicine failed them, or they have friends or family members who are very sick, and they don't want to get sick themselves. So these people, they seek out, you know, a healthier way to help themselves. And as I learned from these people, as I learned from my patients, I began to become more holistic myself, and I began to listen and learn from them, and I'm very grateful for the holistic segment of my population. And I really enjoy treating these people because one of the key things is just to be open-minded and listen. And I think that's what primary doctors need to do. But unfortunately, in today's kind of fast-paced, insurance-driven world, doctors spend less time listening to people. And that's what people really need the most, is to be listened to. So that's kind of my story. And here I am today, basically, really embracing the holistic dental, practice, and also holistic lifestyle for me personally.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, first of all, I love that you love being a dentist. I think if I'm going to a dentist, it's going to be someone who actually loves what he does. But I think the mindset that your holistic patients have about their health really is a healthy mindset. That's the way we should look at health in a preventative fashion. Yeah. So how different is being a holistic dentist from a traditional dentist?
Okay. Great question. There's no definition of holistic dentistry. Holistic dentistry is not really a subspecialty of dentistry, but I think I could only speak for myself, but I think as a generality, holistic dentists, the word holistic, if you look it up in the dictionary, means the whole body or keeping the whole body in mind. So I think holistic dentists at least should care about not putting toxic materials into people's mouths that can adversely affect the rest of their body. And unfortunately, dentistry has a lot of toxic materials that people know about and that they don't know about. And so one of the things I want to educate your listeners is about the various toxins in dentistry that they should avoid. And I think everyone knows about mercury. Although I'll be honest with you, I was very surprised to learn how few people don't know that the silver, what's called silver amalgam fillings, they don't know they're about 50 to 55% mercury. And I can't tell you how many patients come in, really upset that the dentist put 50% mercury fillings in their mouth, and they weren't informed of that. Now, some states like California make the dentist put actually a sign in the reception area that they use mercury fillings. But that's rare. Most states don't require that. So a lot of people get fillings put in their mouths and other materials put in their mouths without really knowing what's in them and not knowing what these materials do. So, for instance, a lot of the pink denture materials have cadmium in it, which is a toxin. A lot of crowns have nickel, and some of them have lead in them, because a lot of the crowns today are made overseas in countries like China and Pakistan and Costa Rica, where labor is cheap. And so dentists actually send the dental work to other countries to be made, where their you know, regulations are very, very loose. And so there have been reports in the media and in dentistry of lead in crowns, of people getting lead poisoning. And also some of the bonding agents have glutaraldehyde in them. And there's a technique of doing baby teeth root canals where formicresol, another toxin, carcinogen, is used. And this is kind of standard of care in dentistry today, where for some reason it's okay to place these toxins into people's mouths. And we're taught that it's okay. And so when you're a student in dental school, you're taught that there's no harm in these materials. And, you know, if you don't research, if you don't learn further, you just kind of regurgitate that information to your patients. Oh, don't worry about the mercury. You know, it's not a problem. So
what should a patient do? I mean, if this is standard of practice and they walk in to a dentist's office and, you know, no one says anything, and how does a patient protect themselves?
Well, you know, the great thing is the internet. You know, and that's why I love treating the holistic population, because they are so educated. They come in asking great questions. These people really care about their health, and they really research the materials, and they come in asking great questions, and I love that. I love that people take in charge of their own health. And, you know, unfortunately, the dental industry and the government and the insurance industry don't really care about the individual. And I think what's going to happen is, I think what needs to happen is that it has to come from the ground up. It has to come from the people. And I think as more people become more educated through the internet and through shows like yours, which is wonderful, then they're going to come in and request non-toxic dentistry. And once that happens, then the industry will have to change. You know, we saw that in the tobacco industry. We're seeing that with fluoride in the water. You know, we're seeing that, you know, with trans fats, all these things. Really, the people are making choices with their dollars. And I think that's what needs to happen. I think it's the only way it has to happen, because, you know, the big three really don't care. You know, not the dental organized dentistry, you know, the ADA are still saying amalgams are safe. And they're still saying it's okay to put 50% mercury into people's teeth. So obviously these organizations don't care.
Is this what motivated you into writing this book?
Yes. The motivation was, I really wanted people to, you know, to learn about the various kind of toxins, kind of what I call the dirty little secrets in dentistry. And, you know, my book is heavily referenced by peer-reviewed journals and various books, so it's not something I just made up off the cuff. Everything I say in the book is evidence-based, and everything I say in the book is, you know, it's backed up by literature. The problem, what I have discovered in dentistry, is that, especially when it comes to mercury, these studies are not published in the dental journals. They're published in, like, neurological journals and materials journals and other journals. So dentists don't read these journals for the most part, so they have no knowledge of this. I'm fortunate that I've joined various holistic dental organizations where these studies are talked about and these studies are brought into the forefront. So I am exposed to this more than the average dentist.
That's wonderful to know. If you're just joining us, listeners, my guest today is Dr. Alex Schwarzman, and he's a holistic dentist, and we just learned what a holistic dentist is. He's also the author of the book. It's called, what is your book called? Your Path to Healthier Dentistry, a Holistic Approach to Keeping Your Teeth for a Lifetime. Yeah. And interesting, you mentioned earlier about the different toxins, and you touched upon the topic of the filling. And I really want to go back to that. I'm one of those people who also I have fillings in, and I've gone in, and you know they've told me that it doesn't matter, although I know otherwise. So what are better fillings that people should be using?
Okay. So I think it's a great question, but let's kind of back up a little bit because I think I'm going to answer that question, but I'm going to answer it by answering another question: what is biomimetic dentistry? So, mm-hmm. which is one of the things I'm very passionate about. So basically, one of my core beliefs, my core values, is that nature is and always will be better than anything humans will ever invent, especially when it comes to biology. So we cannot outwit or outdo nature. Nature had millions of years to perfect, you know, the living organisms, and humans, we're just not smart enough and clever enough and, you know, intelligent enough to do better. So biomimetic dentistry means mimicking biology. So what biomimetic dentists like myself do is we look for materials and we choose materials that emulate or mimic the tooth, and we restore the tooth, the physics of the tooth, the structure of the tooth, the shape of the tooth to mimic nature. Now, when I say this, I would imagine most of, or all of your listeners would say, well, of course, duh, you know, why wouldn't you do that? And the problem is that is not how dentists are taught how to restore teeth, because dentistry is built on woodworking techniques and metallurgy techniques of the 1800s. And all those, you know, early 1800s techniques are still taught in every dental school in the United States as the means to restore teeth. So dentists kind of treat teeth as little white rocks. So you could just drill and chisel into smithereens and fill them with whatever, without really giving much thought to how nature built the tooth. So when I build teeth, I think about that a lot. I see the tooth. I know how the tooth works, especially the physics of it. And I build teeth. I rebuild the inner core of the tooth, and I rebuild the outer layer of the tooth with materials that are like the tooth. So let's talk about the typical dental restorations. Let's talk about the metal fillings. And they could be, you know, mercury, silver fillings. They could be gold fillings. The problem with hard metal in teeth is that the way nature built a tooth is the tooth is about 95% flexible. It's kind of like a tree, where the tree is solid and hard, but it bends in the wind. It's resilient. It's stress-absorbing. And that's how teeth are built. The problem with this material, which is dentin, is that this material is very wearable. And so what nature did to fix that problem with teeth wearing prematurely is it covered it in a rock. It covered it in enamel, which is 99% crystal, a rock. And so you have something that's flexible, that's overlaid by a thin layer of something that's really hard and wear resistant. What happens is when you cut into a tooth, when you make a hole in a tooth through a cavity or through intentional drilling of a hole, because there's a technique that's taught in every dental school, it's called extension for prevention, meaning you intentionally drill away healthy tooth structure and plug it with amalgam. Now, that was a technique that was taught in the early 1800s, and it's still being taught today. So dentists are taught to drill away healthy parts of the tooth for basically no good reason. That exists today. So what metal fillings do is they act as – so when you take something hard and metallic and non-flexible and stick it in the center of something that's supposed to be flexible, the metal filling begins to crack the tooth. And I have seen thousands and thousands of teeth break and crack because of this problem. And the problem with metal filling, with amalgam filling specifically, is they're based on woodworking principles. So when you have a cavity, the cavity actually creates a bowl-shaped lesion. So if you put something into a bowl and you turn the bowl upside down, whatever is in the bowl falls out. So dentists are taught to now cut under the cusps of the tooth and make a dovetail joint. So your listeners who know anything about woodworking techniques, in the old days before screws and nails, they would actually make a dovetail joint or a trapezoidal shape to lock the pieces of wood together. So that's how dentists treat teeth. They lock metal into the tooth and weaken the tooth more than the cavity did. So along comes white fillings. Now, the problem with white fillings, the majority of them are much, much more flexible than the tooth. So what happens is when you chew on a tooth with a very flexible filling, the filling deforms more than the tooth, and then the seal or the bond between the tooth and the filling breaks and rips. And so a lot of white fillings leak and fail prematurely because they're too flexible. So the solution is to use materials that are as close to nature in their physics as possible. And fortunately, in 2013, there are several materials that fit the bill. And biomimetic dentists use these materials and understand how, the different flexibilities in the tooth, because the tooth is actually flexible differently in different layers of the tooth. And by layering the tooth like nature does, the filling and the tooth work in harmony with each other and not against the tooth or the tooth against the filling. So the answer to your question about what fillings should a patient choose, the answer is they need to choose a biomimetic filling.
And because, to be honest with you, until I saw the information on your website and your book, I did not know much about this biomimetic dentistry or filling. So are there many dentists out there doing this?
Unfortunately, no. And so there's a dentist. His name is David Alleman. He's a dentist out of Utah, and he has spent his entire career putting together all the research. He's read thousands upon thousands of articles in peer-reviewed journals, kind of combing through the literature, trying to create a cohesive technique or series of techniques that can create a synthetic reconstruction of a tooth that mimics nature. So, and there are several dentists throughout the world who kind of converged on this idea sort of independently. And there's a dentist in Italy who kind of follows this approach, and there's a dentist in Switzerland who now fortunately teaches in one of the universities in America. So kind of the three of them kind of got together and kind of put their heads together and came up with this concept, and each one kind of came from a different angle. And what Dr. Alleman does, he travels around the country, and he kind of gives this course on biomimetic dentistry, and that's when I was exposed to it. And I felt this was just such a right way to treat teeth. When I was into cosmetic dentistry, I used to layer the teeth to mimic nature aesthetically. So I would layer, the dentin layer and the enamel layer using different materials based on the color of the tooth. I didn't really think about the physics portion of the tooth. And when Dr. Alleman introduced this to me, it was really like an eye-opening concept. And I was so thrilled about this, and I felt, how you just felt, that more dentists should do this because this is the right way to treat teeth. And together with four of the dentists, 2 years ago, we sat down and we felt that the world needs to know about this more, dentists and patients. And we formed the Academy of Biomimetic Dentistry 2 years ago. So I'm one of the founding fathers of this organization. And its purpose is to educate dentists and patients. And so we're trying. But
well,
the problem
so
is...
Then the other thought, though, is, I mean, this may be catching on soon, and I hope more dentists will learn more about it if it's beneficial for patients, yeah. But what about, you know, for people who are out there looking to get a filling and maybe the dentist they're with is not practicing this type of dentistry, is there a particular one of the available fillings right now that's out there that you would say is better than some of the others in terms of won't be toxic to your health?
Right. Well, there are basically three categories of fillings. Well, four. You could have a gold filling, which has the metal problem we spoke about, the rigid within the flexible tooth. You have the mercury silver fillings, which is even worse because you actually undermine the tooth. You have resin fillings or composite fillings, which most of them are too flexible. And you have porcelain fillings, which actually have the same problem as the metal fillings. It's glass. It's too rigid. Now, glass happens to be very close to enamel, and the glass or the porcelain restorations belong on the outside of the tooth, like nature designed the tooth. And the inner core of the tooth has to be built with materials that resemble the physics of dentin. So to answer your question, there's no like one filling. It really is a concept and a technique. And fortunately, there are about 250 dentists in this country that are trained by Dr. Allen and are biomimetic dentists. And there's at least one dentist in every state. So I think, like I told you earlier, I think part of it has to come from the ground up. Patients need to, I think, educate the dentists and say, you know what? I would like a biomimetic filling. And the dentist is going to say, what's that? And the patient say, you know what? Go on the internet and learn about it. And I think when patients will start asking their dentists more about this, hopefully most dentists will listen to their patients and not have this God complex that I know everything and you don't, and, you know, be open-minded and empathetic, and hopefully they want to do the right thing and treat their patients right, because my goal is to restore the tooth once. I want to touch my patient's teeth once, and that's it. I want to build teeth to last a patient's lifetime. One of the key ways is very simple. There's nothing better than the tooth. One of my favorite sayings is, there's no dentistry better than no dentistry. In other words, we need to preserve as much of our natural teeth as possible. So one of the tenets, one of the core values of biomimetic dentistry is minimally invasive and tooth-conserving dentistry. And so that's kind of my dental religion. I try to save every bit of the natural tooth as possible, and when the tooth is missing a part of it, then I'm going to choose materials that mimic nature.
All right. So this is good information for our listeners to actually go out there and research, because, as I said, for me also, this is very new. I'm learning this stuff for the very first time. So people should really go research this information and have a talk with your dentist about it.
Absolutely.
Maybe,
do the research. You know, don't take my word for it. Go on the internet. You know, read my book. Read other books on biomimetic dentistry. They're out there. And educate yourself. You know, I think you need to become an educated consumer. You know, I believe people need to take charge of their health. The days of go to the doctor, and the doctor knows everything and tells you what to do, and you just go, and do it, I think those days are over and should be over.
I agree. I totally agree with you on that, yes. You know, I want to remind you that your health is indeed your wealth. And many times we do nothing until we've lost our health. So please do something healthy for yourself this week. And perhaps, as Dr. Schwarzman said, the thing to do is to go make that appointment. Go make that appointment for that checkup and get your dental health under control. And one thing I want to leave you with, do something healthy for yourself. Have a great evening, everyone, and have a fabulous week.
You've been listening to Health Talk with Dr. Diane, MD. For show replays and full guest bios, please be sure to visit fmgradio.com/Dr. Diane, MD. That's DrDianeMD.